Welcome, everyone, to our Mixed Faith Marriage Mastermind. I love these little masterminds that we have we do these once a month. And I was looking back, I think we've done about eight of them. We've talked about a whole bunch of different great topics. We've talked about garments, alcohol, respect, listening, partnership, connection. We talked about I wouldn't have chosen this. So we've talked about a bunch of pretty deep topics here, and I feel so blessed to be able to have these discussions. My name is Chris Rich, and I've got Brooke Booth and Suzette Halterman here. And I'm not going to go, we're not going to introduce ourselves like we have in the past, because we're thinking that you guys have probably heard these before. But I do want to say that all three of us are. We are all coaches. We are all living in mixed faith marriages, mixed faith families. We are in the trenches trying to figure this out as we're going along. And we love to help people in this space. I think it's really cool because we all have different experiences with where we're at in our own faith journey. And you'll hear that as we're talking today. But I love this space, and I feel like it's a very safe space to be able to talk and to share these ideas. And that's a good thing because today we're going to be talking about tithing. And I'm going to be honest with you just from the get-go, this is a topic that like my heart's beating right now. I can feel this is definitely something that can be tricky in mixed faith marriages. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And Brooke or Suzette, do you guys have anything you want to add before we jump into the questions?
Let's dive in.
Okay. Oh, I also want to say that there are a lot of different places that you can find this Mixed Faith Marriage Mastermind. We've got it. I know Brooke and I put them on our podcast. So Brooke has the Mormon Mixed Faith Marriage podcast. Make sure you're following that. I've got the Mixed Faith Relationship podcast that you make sure you're following that. And Suzette has a YouTube channel, and it's Suzette Halterman. Is that the best way to find the YouTube?
I'm not as cool as you guys. I don't have a podcast yet.
Oh, you're cool. You're totally cool. So, also, I also have a YouTube channel too. So, if you would prefer to watch this or listen, and you can find it on, and go check out the other things that we have as well, because there's lots of great resources to help you. So. Okay, so let's jump in to this topic. So my first question is, why do people get so heated? And maybe it's for some people it's heated. I'm going to assume that this, just talking to my clients and knowing my relationship with this, why do we get so heated on this topic? Tell me your thoughts.
I will start. I think money in general is a heated topic in relationships because money is about meaning and conflicting meanings. It's about equality. How are we making decisions together about how our money is spent? And there can be all kinds of stuff going on with that. Like, well, they make all the money and I don't. So do I really have a say? Like, it's about creating partnership and equality and how decisions are made. And then it's complicated by the fact that there's rules from an institution about what it's supposed to look like. And there's an accountability piece where you have to answer to someone and tell them whether you're doing it within these rules or not. And then you have kids and it's tied to temple recommends, which is a whole nother thing of its own. So it's like, no wonder it's messy because it's got all the ingredients for messy. So it makes sense that it's messy.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It is ripe for, as you put it, heated topics. I think there's power dynamics that really come into play here, like Suzette was mentioning. Like I see this. For some couples, it's a complete no-brainer. They're like, no problem. You don't want to pay tithing, no problem. Or you do want to pay tithing, no problem. But in the couples where it is a particular problem, I think it's sometimes, and this isn't across the board, but sometimes there's like opposing, they see their interest as opposing or adversarial. They have more of an adversarial type relationship that is going to cause the tenseness, where you have to fight for what you want and you don't believe the other person has your best interests at heart. This certainly creates that. When I look at tithing conversations, if I were to have a couple or an individual come to me and they wanted to talk about tithing, I'd want to look at like the things Suzette was mentioning. I'd want to look at larger issues in the relationship. Tithing is usually symptomatic of something else. So I would say, is there equality in the decision making? Why or why not? Do people feel safe being able to share their viewpoints on how finances should be spent or just viewpoints in general? Why or why not? I really like to look and see, like, what is tithing symptomatic of in this relationship? And often it's safety or it's power or equality or something like that. It pushes up against a lot of tender spots that these issues bring up. What I want doesn't matter. I'm not important here. I have no control over this. These are incredibly tender spots in a relationship. And again, they tie into partnership, equality, all of these things. And just like Suzette says, if you have over here one person saying, like, this is my eternal salvation and the salvation of my family, and you have over here somebody saying, like, why is my viewpoint not important? Why do what I want or what I'm asking for not important? And frankly, that can be on either side of the equation. You're going to have serious conversations.
I love all the things that you guys shared. I think another thing with tithing too is there are certain things that in a mixed faith relationship where it really only affects me. Like if I and then there are other things that affect everyone. You know, so like I think that's an interesting way to look at it as well, that it's it's just some decisions don't really affect the other person, and this one is a decision that definitely can have those effects. So I think it's good to recognize that it makes sense that there are all these different things in that are going into play. So, okay, my next question. So, what is tithing? And I'm going to start off with this one because for me, and I love that phrase, for me, tithing is so it shows gratitude to God and it brings spiritual and temporal blessings. And I think of paying tithing as a privilege, that it's a demonstration of my faith. And like Suzette was talking about earlier, it's a question on the temple recommend. And to me, that's really important to me. I want to be able to get a temple recommend. So when you're thinking about it that way, for me, this is important because of this. And I think too, another thing with tithing is I'm a very black and white person. Being in a mixed faith marriage has really forced me to be more gray, which I think is a really good thing. But I love when we were on the same page with tithing. I loved going into the tithing declaration meetings and saying, you know, like when they say, "Are you a full tithe player?" I loved being able to say, like, "Yes, I know that 100%. I did this 100%," and that was something that it was a big deal to me. I love that. So then when we were in the situation where we weren't doing that, it was just like, oh, you know, it was out. So I think it's so important to recognize why is this important for me? What is the meaning that I'm giving this? And to make sure to check in with our spouse, what is the meaning for you? And looking at that very clearly and understanding, like, you know, like for my husband, he has no belief. It doesn't mean any, all these things, it doesn't mean any of that to him. Not that he's being, he just has a different view of it. So I think it's so important to understand. So, okay. What are your thoughts on other thoughts you guys have on what is tithing?
I actually really like that you asked this question because as I was thinking back just to my own like education, if you will, around tithing, it was interesting to sort of see that it was dynamic and unfolding. So let me give you an example. So I learned in my house, like as a child growing up, that it was 10% of the income. And I like, you know, it was tithing settlements back then. I went every year. I was just like you, proud to participate and to do that, clear up through most of my adulthood. But as I was thinking back my own experience, so 10% is what I was taught, 10% of the income. And no further explanation was really given to me as a child. We didn't really discuss. And as I grew up, I remember being at BYU and talking to somebody I was working with. We were friends, worked in like the same on-campus job. And she was introducing to me this idea of like pain on your gross versus your net. I'd never even considered that. I'm like, oh, that's a thing. And then it really got me thinking. And I'm like, oh yeah, I mean, before taxes or after taxes, like how do you pay tithing? I'd never considered that. And then as I became an adult and things like this, like I was reading, you know, taught seminary for years, and in the scriptures it says 10% of your increase, whatever that means. So my own experience is, you know, if there's something like that in the scriptures, I would go to the general authorities for clarification. Like they would provide me the definition of increase. And I mean no disrespect at all when I say this, but there isn't a lot of consensus on what that word means, what that word increase means. I mean, I was like a scriptorian. I was a nerd. I'm still a nerd, but I was a nerd in that regard before. Like these things really mattered to me, and I wanted to do it right, and I wanted to be in integrity. And so I thought seriously about these things. And I can see that these, like the way tithing is set up, is it's a little confusing when you're actually looking at what 10% even means. And you can have two people come in and they're taught quite differently about it, even though it seems simple enough, 10% on your income. And my own interpretation as an adult was to more strictly apply the interpretations because that somehow meant you were more righteous. This was just how my brain worked. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but that's how I would do it. So, you know, I would lean towards more the gross instead of the net because that meant somehow you were following the law more carefully. It's complicated because not everybody interprets it that way. And so I think when you have a husband and wife coming together making this decision, it's like there's complexities involved there in just how you interpret it. And if you want to interpret it in a particular way, or if you want to pay it at all, I think it's good to even ask this question, what is tithing? Because it's not as simple as I thought when I was a kid growing up.
I agree with that. And I think that it's about what it's the meaning. Tithing, like garments, like a lot of religious things is about the meaning behind it. And so, Chris, you were talking about the meaning it has for you and the other partner. The meaning might be, I don't want to, the meaning is supporting an institution that has values that I don't agree with. And so you can have very conflicted meanings. And so then you have to decide, well, what are we making tithing mean for us as a couple? And like Brooke, you were saying, tithing alone, it's there's not a consensus. It is not so black and white as maybe we think. And then add in all these other meanings and then a mixed faith marriage. And it's, well, what is it going to mean for us? And how can we like apply both of our individual meanings and have a meaning for it as a couple? And it's just there's a lot of stuff going on, even just to talk about what is tithing, what are the meanings behind it for you, for me as a couple? Yeah.
Great, the great questions here. Okay, so the next thing I want to look at is how has tithing shown up in your relationships? I'd love to hear your experiences as far as you're comfortable sharing.
I'll
Maybe.
start. I'll just start. I know. I'll pause.
Go ahead.
This is actually an area I'm really proud of my husband and I, because I've this is how we've approached it, and it's not perfect. Do not think we're perfect here. But for us, it's been a series of conversations. And I like that approach in that this is one of those decisions that I think takes a lot of exploring, trying something, tweaking it, trying something again, tweaking it, like seeing what's working, what's not working. Is this still working? I think a lot of decisions of this caliber need to be like iterations and experiments and check-ins. You know, you might brainstorm something and try it, and it might work for you for 6 months or 8 months or a year or 18 months, and then it might not work anymore. It might need to be adjusted and negotiated. It might need to be tweaked. I'm hesitant when I see a decision like tithing where somebody wants to lock in to how you're going to do it for the next 20 years, 2 months into a faith transition, and lock into that and say, like, okay, this is what we're going to do, and now it's never going to change. I don't think that works for the dynamics of how a faith transition works, or just how adult development works, or a lot of things. So I like, and again, this is what I'm proud of us for doing, is I feel like it has been able to be a series of conversations, and it might work for a period of time, and then we may need to revisit it. This takes a lot of communication skills. It takes a lot of courage. It takes being able to tolerate your discomfort and maybe your spouse's discomfort to be able to address things that are important to you, so resentment doesn't build and frustration doesn't build, because it's not getting addressed. So my general thing is lots of conversations. Like, so we've been in a mixed faith marriage for like 7, 8 years now. I mean, we've tried quite a bit of different approaches here. Like, there's been quite a different iterations. Like the first approach was like, I didn't pay on my income, but he paid on his. That worked for a period of time until it didn't work anymore. And then we needed to try something different. And then even since we've shifted that, we've probably shifted it 3 times since then too. Like, we've probably tried 4 distinct ways of approaching tithing in this time period. And for me, I really appreciate that when it doesn't work, we can still have the conversation.
I would say in our, it hasn't been a huge issue in my relationship. In general, like if we kind of back up, our approach as a couple is we make financial decisions together. It's our money, even though my husband, for most of our marriage, has been the sole provider. I have an income now, but it's not comparable to his, but still, it's still our money. So that's, we plug tithing into that. And so, it just because we've finances has not been an issue that we've had a lot of struggle with in our marriage. And so when it came to tithing, it also hasn't been a struggle. And I think one of your questions is more specifically how we handle it now. So I won't answer that yet, but I'll just say it hasn't shown up as a big deal for us, but I know for a lot of couples it does. I feel like our power dynamics, we have a lot of equality. We have a same, we're on the same page about how we handle finances in general. So it just, it wasn't a big deal for us, which was lucky for me, I guess. I'm grateful.
So lucky. That definitely has been a tricky thing in our relationship. I think we had years where, and I've been doing this, it's been 20 years now ish. It's been a long, this has been going on for a long time. And Brooke, I love what you said just about being able to change it up. We definitely had a period where it was just, well, I think there's going back to like what I make it mean. I think there are so many different scriptures, like, will a man rob God? I'm like, Chris Rich is not going to rob God. This is like, it's such an important, I think there's so many different things that we are influenced by. And so there was, for quite a long time, my husband was just like, I get that this is important to you. Let's do this. And so we did. And I was just like, whew, I can pay my tithing. I can say yes to my temple recommend interviews. And that worked really well for me. And I was so thankful that he was on board with that. And then after a while, years, it's like, this is not, he has no belief in this. This is not something that he is interested in all in at all. So we had to have some more conversations, and I had to, you guys sound like you have it so much more figured out than I did or do.
Let me just interject. When Suzette said some couples have a lot of problems with money and tense and inequality, okay, double hand raise. That is
Yeah.
us. That is
Yes.
us. Like, this
Okay.
whole focus on money and our money, that is not going on in this household. To make you feel better, Chris.
Well, I think
We
I
have
love
struggles
that.
in different areas,
Yes.
right?
Yeah. And I hope, as those of you that are listening, like, we've got so many different, everyone's in different boats. I think it's, so that was, it was, that was definitely, we've changed several different times. So I got to the point where I'm like, I am asking him to live my religion that's important to me. And this was probably, I want to say this was 10, 15 years into this as we were figuring it out. And yeah, so there, I think it has definitely shown up in our relationship. So here's the next question. So how do you guys handle it? What are some of those iterations that we've talked about? How do you guys handle tithing? Go ahead,
So
Deb.
you mentioned some earlier, like there was a time where like I didn't pay on mine and he paid on his. There was a time where he paid tithing, but it was like out of this like other pot of money and not the family budget. There was a time where he paid tithing out of the family budget. Like we've switched it around quite a bit. I hear with quite a bit of my clients. Actually, I'll wait. You have a question coming about that. But right now, you know, what's interesting is I'm not entirely sure. I was realizing that as I was like preparing for this. Like, I'm not entirely sure what he's doing with tithing right now. And I was like, I don't know exactly. Like, I do know it's not in our family budget anymore, but I don't know exactly how it's being taken care of over there, which is interesting because so this ties into the other thing that Suzette was mentioning is for some couples. Equality manifests in different areas, you know, and some people it's just more of a natural thing that they do or something they've worked on. In my marriage, equality has been something I've really struggled with. My own upbringing was definitely patriarchal and like father knows best kind of a situation, and that's how our family, like my current family, was structured. And we had talked about it like, no, we want to be more equal, but we were kind of like, we want to be more equal, but we kind of know who's still presiding and in charge. So it was almost like lip service. So this idea of like our money, I want to talk about for a minute because what I see in my own relationship, and I think it happens in other relationships too, is we'll say our money, but the practices and the way things are decided don't reflect an our money kind of viewpoint. And I think that's one of the trickier ones. Because if you're both are like, it's our money, and then you both practice that and the decisions are made in an our money way, that's fantastic. And I wish that on so many people. But a lot of times what'll happen is we'll be like, yeah, it's our money. And that's how it's phrased and that's the words used, but it's not always the practice. And that can be really subtle and hard to identify. And we can talk about this when we talk about how I've seen it with other clients, is and I see this in my own relationship, is it's our money, but it's not really. Where like maybe an idea is given and it's just vetoed, that's not an our money response. When something's not considered, like an opinion or a suggestion, it doesn't hold as much weight. So like let's take the eternal salvation versus like I want a say in how our money is used. Like I realize there's tension there. And I think this is something in my own relationship we've seen. Like, how do you balance that? Does that mean that equality gets thrown out the door because my salvation needs to be taken care of and it's paramount? Or how do you balance that? I think is really, really tricky. And I think the our money conversation can be interwoven in that in kind of complex ways because you can say it's our money, but sometimes that doesn't mean it is. And if other things trump it and vetoes are given, regardless, like that can really complicate things because it's tricky because you're like, yeah, I get your salvation is really important to you and you'd want, and if like roles reverse, I'd probably want to veto that too. But that has implication in the relationship. That has implications as far as trust and fairness and equality that I think need to be looked at as well. And the whole thing needs to be considered. There's my long answer to your simple question.
But important, all important things. I can tell you how we do it. Again, this is just how we do it, and everybody is different. So we use a charitable giving bank account, which are the best things ever. We use Fidelity Charitable. We put 10% into that. And then from there, 5%, my husband paid 5% goes to tithing, but we do it anonymously directly to church headquarters. So it's not tied to our membership at all. We take the salvation part out of it and just make it a purely internal, like I'm giving, I feel good about it. This is our 10%, this is our full tithe. We don't, you know, so that we're not playing the game of like accountability. That's just how we like to take that messiness out of it. And then the other 5% goes to other things. Sometimes we decide as a couple. Sometimes I just decide where the other 5% goes, but we tend to keep it in our community. We like donating to like nonprofits that, you know, benefit kids in the community, scholarship funds and, you know, the sports programs and the booster clubs. And so, but we like to do it through the charitable giving because you can pull up all the nonprofits in the country, internationally in your community. You can donate directly to that from there. You can make it anonymous. So that's how we do it. And we both feel really good about that, but that takes a lot of defining what tithing means to you personally and as a couple. So for us, tithing is just generously giving of our money. We don't care as much about it being exactly 10% or 5%. My husband's okay feeling like he's a full tithe payer according to our definition. My husband's not as much of a rule follower, so he doesn't care whether his definition matches somebody else's definition, which is awesome for our relationship, but not everybody can do that. And some people feel like they're lying, you know, but my husband doesn't. So that's how we do it. And with our kids, we encourage the principle of generous giving and contributing to your community. So we let them choose. They can donate their 10% to the church. They can split it. They can donate it within the community. My daughter loves to give it to the Humane Society. We encourage them to find meaningful ways to donate their money, because that's we're trying to parent from a values-based place, and the value we have is, you know, sharing, contributing to your community. So we're trying to encourage that in whichever way they want to, whatever way excites them, whatever way has meaning for them. And it's working well so far. And it's fun to see the different way the things that our kids choose kind of reflects their personality. So it's really fun. That's how we do it. And it works for now.
Suzette. Every time I'm like, I wish I was Suzette. She's so amazing.
We
I
have
think
our
that.
struggles. Let me just keep telling you, our struggles just
Yes.
don't happen to be about mixed faith stuff right now. That's all.
Yes. I
So
remember
gaming,
times.
video games. We could talk about that for hours.
Yeah. That's a fun one, too. I remember times where I was like, paying tithing is a choice. Here, let me take this money out of your birthday money. I mean, I look back at things where I'm like, embarrassed, and I wish, and I think that's a big thing. I look back and I'm at some of the ways I've handled it, and it's like, okay, I'm learning more, and now I can change. I don't just being able to look back and be like, yeah, I wish I wouldn't have made my kids pay tithing to make it more of a choice for them. There's so much of looking into ourselves as we're going through this. So in our relationship, we do I pay tithing on the money that I on my income. And that's tricky because we have this idea, Brooke, as you were talking, my husband's like, this is our money. It's not like my money, your money, but I definitely am like, this is my income that I've made and I want to pay tithing on that. So we're figuring this out too. I know before I was making money when the bishop was just like, your personal income is zero. So 10% of that is zero. And he was so, and I think it depends on your personality and your bishop. And I think the important thing, the question is, do you see yourself as a full tithe payer? So you got to be able to look at that and figure out how that works best for you. There is a quote that I love by Jennifer Finlayson Fyfe, and I'm just going to share this. When difficult circumstances arise, so if you're figuring out how to pay tithing or what that looks like for your relationship, ask yourself, how do I need to handle myself in this moment to be a person I respect? I love this quote so much, and I think applying that too, because for me, the point of tithing is to show gratitude and respect, and just that idea, are we figuring this out in a respectful way? Am I being respectful to my spouse, to myself? So I love that question. Okay. My next question. So how have you seen this with your clients? What are the different things that you see them doing?
I've seen a variety. Like some clients, this is a deal breaker for them. I have seen that where this is the thing that they separate over. I see a lot of clients do the 5%, 5% to the church, 5% goes elsewhere. That's a really common one I've seen. That's probably the most common one that I see. Or just each paying, I guess the other common thing is each paying tithing on their own income. Because two income households are more normal now, I think, than like when I was growing up, that was obviously like the stay-at-home parent, and then there was one income. But so now people are tend to be pretty okay just paying tithing on their income. And that works, or not paying, on their income, whichever. And for some couples, this is the thing they struggle with, is finding a compromise, and they struggle with it because of all the meaning, the power dynamics, all those things. So there's a whole spectrum.
I see really similar options. The 5-5, super common. If it's a dual income, it tends to be like you just pay on yours and don't pay on yours. Definitely seen that. Something else I've seen, and I think it's worth addressing, is, and I'd really be curious what you two think about this and if you see this as well. Something I've seen too is, and this ties into the equality thing. I'm just putting this idea out there. I see where if the man has had the faith transition, then, and let's say it's a single breadwinner, then tithing's not paid. But if the man is the believer and the woman's had the faith transition, then tithing is paid. Like I see this as like sort of the breadwinner gets to decide if tithing is paid or not. And that's where it gets back into the fuzzy issue of our money. Like they may very well profess our money, but when push comes to shove, the breadwinner sometimes has the ultimate decision here, whether tithing is paid or not paid. That's something I have seen anecdotally. I don't want to anyway say this is across the board, but I think this can be another symptom of how are decisions made in the house. Is what you suggest, your ideas, your proposals, are they equal to your spouse's? Are you getting vetoed? Does your spouse have veto power and you don't have veto power? Like things like this, I think, happen in this dynamic. And I think if divorce happens because of it or separation happens because of it, maybe it's because they don't want to pay tithing to the church as an institution. I think oftentimes it's because they actually hit up against inequality issues. And I think the value that would come into play is I don't want to be in a relationship where I'm not equally valued. I don't want to be in a relationship where my viewpoint isn't important or equally valued as my spouse's. And I think those are hard decisions, but important ones to make. That's what I see. I'm curious about your clients, Chris, and I'm curious if you guys see sort of the man-woman dynamic as well.
I think I did. I think it definitely can come up. I think it's just going back to this idea of there's so many clients. It's just like that they want to be 100%. They want to that just that scripture, will a man rob God? I think there are a lot of things where it can be a tricky thing. I think it is so important that people. You got to figure out what works for you. You may be in a situation where, well, and Brooke, to your question, so I do see that with clients sometimes that it is people just feel like, well, I can't. He has said no, we are not paying tithing, and that's how it's going. I think there you've got so many different situations though, so I think it. I definitely have seen that. I have seen people be very creative with, like this is so important to him that we don't do it, that I think having a conversation and God understands my situation. You may be in a situation, and I mean, as to what you were saying, that there may be some other things you want to look at, but I do have clients where it's just like, This is so important to him, and I know that God understands me and my heart and is not going to. So I think you have to understand your relationship with your person that you're with, your relationship with God. I think there are a lot of different. It's so easy to be like, this is all or nothing, but it's important that we, what are other ways? What are other ways? Maybe my spouse has said, we're not doing this, and I'm choosing to stay in this situation. And I'm going to figure out I'm going to serve in a different capacity or find, I mean, they used to pay tithing with eggs. I'm not saying that's what I do, but I think you can figure out like what works for you and your situation. I don't have a chicken, so that is not how I'm doing it, but so yeah, I think just having looking at it, figuring out what works best for your dynamic and what you have decided. I think one of my favorite questions is what is my why? Do I like my why for how we're doing this? And just being really honest and looking at that. And this kind of goes with what Brooke, to what your question was earlier. I think sometimes this can be seen as a win-lose or a, you know, we've got a win-win, a lose-lose. How is this a win-lose? How do we look at that?
I will speak to that because I love talking about win-wins. I think most things can be a win-win. Tithing does not have to be a win-lose. It can be a win-win, but sometimes like one thing is just more important to the other person. Like tithing is super important to the other person. And then you might just be like, I don't really care that much. So in that way, like just because one you might pay tithing a full 10%. Does not mean it's a win-lose. It can also be like, it's not the hill I care about dying on, right? So there can be all kinds of win-wins. It can be kind of like there's other things that are more important to me that I will push for. This isn't one of them. So it can be that. But I think there's a lot of ways to create a win-win. It does not have to be a win-lose. If it feels like a win-lose, it means either one person is not taking up enough space in the relationship, power dynamics. And one person has too much space in the relationship and that needs to shift. Or there could be a lot of other reasons why it's a win-lose. We haven't talked about scrupulosity playing into this, anxiety, where there's so much control, there has to be so much control and there's no ability for them to shift enough to make a win-win. That's a really important discussion too. Like that sometimes there's other things happening that make it harder to get to a win-win. So if you're not able to get to a win-win, I would look at why. What else is going on? Is there anxiety? Is there scrupulosity? What's creating rigidity that we can't shift things enough to get to a win-win? Or is this you know, what else is going, what's keeping you from getting to a win-win? Because I think it's totally possible.
I think it's totally possible to find something that works. I think a lot of times that's where you need the iterations. You need to just keep trying. You need to keep like get really creative. I think you're totally spot on about that, Chris. You've just got to keep like hold the belief that there can be a win-win, and then you just keep looking until you find what works. And one thing I like to teach to clients about like finding a win-win is a lot of times we're like, we just have to compromise, and we latch on to this idea of compromise. And I think compromise is not always universally a good thing. And this is what I mean by that is if you're compromising but from a place of like hopelessness or desperation or resentment, it's not going to leave a good taste in your mouth. Like it's not going to be a really sustainable approach for you. Like it may look on paper like a win-win, but it's going to feel like a win-lose or a lose-lose. Other types of compromise, again, you can come to the same decision, but if it's again, it's coming from maybe generosity or it's coming from compassion or it's coming from a very different type of emotion. Generosity, kindness, whatever, it can feel much more sustainable, be much more sustainable, be a very different quality of a compromise. I also think what Suzette was saying here is super important and needs to be reiterated is sometimes it's you can't even get to a compromise or a negotiation because of like the non-negotiable stance some people take on this. And that can be on either side, like non-negotiable not paying or non-negotiable we're paying at all, no matter what period. Like it can come up on either side of this equation here. And I think that needs to be looked at because through a slightly different lens. Like if we can't even get to compromise, we don't need to be worrying about like the quality of the compromise. We need to be looking at something very differently here. Like what's going on in the individual that this is a non-negotiable? There might be something worth exploring there and understanding there and developing compassion around there or doing some internal work around there. Often if there is, like she said, scrupulosity or anxiety, what's going on there? That this is such a hard issue that there isn't a lot of wiggle room. Sometimes just understanding that more and getting curious about that and exploring that and being able to talk about that can be really a lovely thing for a couple, just to understand and know each other a little bit better. And then help when the decision making so that you just have a better knowledge of what each other's facing and experiencing. Doesn't always make it so there's an obvious solution, but it does create space where there can be a lot more softness and understanding towards each other.
I think that is a tricky thing is just the fuel, and we're going to talk about this in just a minute, but the fuel that we're taking in this, we want to come into this with softness. So here's an example. So we've got two kids in college right now, and my husband a couple of years ago said, I would love for you to contribute X amount of dollars to their college. And so I am doing that. And he said, you realize every time you pay tithing, it's X amount of dollars minus 10%. And I was like, yeah. And so to make it a win-win for both of us is for me, it is really important to me to pay tithing, something I really want to do. So I said, well, then I'm going to make X plus 10% because I want to do this. So finding a way to be just to work together to figure out how do we make this work, and how it works in my marriage might not work in someone else's marriage, and to figure out like what works where we can have these conversations. Some of these conversations are hard. We've had lots of these times where I think it is so easy to We don't like conflict. So it's just like, okay, I'm just not going to say anything. But then I feel conflicted internally. There's going to be conflict either way. So making sure that we're having those conversations, even though they're hard, I think there's so many times after those hard conversations where it's like it's that rupture and repair idea. Like this was a really hard thing, but then we were able to come together, and then we may need to change it again in the future. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to just talk about was to have these conversations, and I think that's kind of what I was just saying. What are some tips for a productive conversation? And I think that would be my tip right there, that we have this idea that we want to avoid conflict at all costs, but recognize you're going to have either external conflict or internal conflict. And and for me, I've had to learn, okay, it's important that I don't want to be internally conflicted. For me, I want to find a way where tithing works for me. So I want to have those conversations and to figure out. So that is my tip, that conflict either way. You got to pick your conflict. What's going to help you grow together and to be able to show up as the person that you want to show up as. So what about you guys?
I'll share mine. So if it's not working for you, like talk about it. Bring it up. Don't let your concerns fall into like the back of the line or at the back of the shelf. Like if it's not working for you, that's important. It means that this isn't sustainable. It means that you like that not talking about it is going to bring that internal conflict or that resentment. Like it, talk about it. If it stops working for you, talk about it. Bring it up. And this may then bring up like, because a lot of times people are like, but if I bring it up, then he's gonna or she's gonna like, if they do get upset or angry or defensive or whatever, get curious about that. Like, is that reason enough for you not to talk about something important to you? Do you need to learn how to tolerate their discomfort, your own discomfort of their discomfort, even so that the important things can be discussed? Because at the end of the day, you're either going to talk about these important things or you're not, and there's consequences either way. And there's like ripple effects either way, if you will. And I think often we need to be having more difficult conversations, which means we need to be very courageous. We need to be brave. We need to be able to tolerate their discomfort, tolerate our own discomfort. It's one of those things that I think in the short term is hard for the long-term benefit. And I'm not joking. In the short term, it is hard. It is. But we're in this oftentimes in these relationships for long term. This is a long-term game we're playing. And sometimes we need to engage in those short-term levels of discomfort.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I would say some practical tips. Just I work a lot on compromise with couples. I think practical tips I would give for these conversations are talk about where you are flexible instead of where you're not flexible. Where are you flexible? And really get creative. Like I could be flexible donating, calling tithing this. I could be flexible with my definition of tithing. I could be flexible with percentage. I could be flexible with donating anonymously or not. I could be flexible, a lot of that will depend on the person, but focus on where you're flexible is one tip. Another is just remembering that a win-win solution does not mean that both people walk away happy. It means both people walk away equally uncomfortable. And that's how you know you've got a good compromise. So, like my husband, like I would prefer no money go to the church. I don't, it's an institution that doesn't have values I support. So I walk away from our compromise a little uncomfortable because our money, 5%, and is going to the church. And my husband's uncomfortable because it would be easier for him to just pay the 10% and not have to deal with all the, so we both are uncomfortable. So that's a good win-win. If only one person's uncomfortable, that's not a win-win. So that's another tip. Also not letting other people dictate what your definition and how you're going to do it as a couple is. So figure out how you're going to do that and then be assertive and just you take that to the bishop and say, our mixed faith marriage is important and relationships are important and we are doing a spiritual work in figuring out something that works for both of us. Here's what we're doing. This, yes, it's a full tithe according to our definition. Like you don't even have to tell specifics. Own your marriage. Don't let other people dictate how you do it. So, I think when you're having those conversations, do it from a place of let's figure out what's work going to work for us. Let's not worry about other people's definitions. What works for us, and then we'll take it from there. So, I don't know. Those are some of my tips. And flexibility, flexibility, flexibility. Mixed faith marriages thrive in the gray area, in being flexible and adaptable, and spirit of the law versus instead of letter of the law. Like those are all things that are going to help your relationship, and relationship work is spiritual work. So you're not going against spirituality. You are in the midst of spirituality when you're doing relationship work because that you're sacrificing, you're being generous, you're, all these things. So those are my tips.
So many great tips. I just thank you for having this conversation. I think this is such an important conversation. And if it's not tithing, it could, there's different ways that you can use these tools that we've talked about. And we hope that the things that we've shared, you can figure out what works for you. And like Suzette was saying, being flexible. And we are this, I love what you're saying. This is where we're figuring things out. And our marriages may look very different from Brother and Sister Smith that are sitting there at church, or Bob and Sally that are completely out of the church. So figuring out what that looks like for you. Does any last things you guys want to add before we wrap things up?
I'll say something really quick is I want to piggyback on the flexibility thing is that's really challenging for some people. I'm a big fan of like developing the capacity to be flexible and less rigid. I mean, it's something I personally had to work on, my husband's had to work on, but that can be extremely challenging, especially when it butts up against what you consider to be your personal integrity or salvation. And I just want to like I acknowledge that, I honor that, I see that, and there's value in developing that skill.
I agree. And there's oftentimes a lot of things inhibiting it, trauma, all mental
Socializing.
health issues, socializations. Yeah, it's developing the capacity for flexibility. That might have to be a whole nother topic. I get to choose the topic next time. Let's do that one. I'm choosing it. I'm calling it.
Love
But
it.
yeah, I totally agree.
Well, you guys, thank you. I feel like I don't know if our listeners get anything out of these, but I sure do. So I love, I think it's so valuable to hear just in this safe spot. We have so many different viewpoints and to be able to look at them, and it definitely helps me think like, well, maybe this is what my husband's feeling, and maybe I love this space where we can have these conversations. So we thank you guys for being here and wait for next month because it's going to be awesome. And that's everything we've got for you guys. Have a good day.